This is a Shift Podcast Network production.
Welcome to Here and Back Again. I'm David O'Callaghan, and this is a podcast looking at all things releasing weekly on streaming and in cinemas, with a bit of pop culture bits thrown in. Greetings and salutations, folks. Well, with the actor strike still ongoing, this week's content drops weirdly kind of has that feeling of what the next few months may be like. Low on huge star-watered shows and movies, a lot of reality-based stuff also thrown at us. However, that does not mean that this bank holiday weekend there ain't nothing to watch. It just means that the options are limited, but at least some of them are quality worth having a nose at. As I said, there are a lot of documentaries on streaming this week. Some of them, I'm not going to lie, I am quite excited to see. Let's start there. So, shall we begin?
Milli Vanilli has made it big in America.
Great music, it rises.
Their visuals were on point. They had it all.
Girl, you know it's true.
1 minute Milli Vanilli were there.
Milli Vanilli.
Milli Vanilli.
The next minute they weren't.
We thought, okay, it's one song. You do that and you're out. We're not saying no to this powerful producer.
Money, money, money makes the world go round.
Milli Vanilli. Milli Vanilli on Paramount Plus is a brand new documentary that sheds light on the scandal of Grammy award-winning pop duo Milli Vanilli. It tells the story of Robert Rob Pilatus and Fabrice Fab Morvan, two close friends and Munich dancers who were lured into being the silent, lip-syncing frontmen of Boney M. Svengali Frank Farian's new hit-making project, Milli Vanilli. They sold more than 30 million singles worldwide. Girl, you know it's true. Their first album went platinum 6 times in 1989. And yes, as I said, they won a Grammy. As they themselves admitted, we embraced the lie. But what's fascinating here is that this documentary's observation of the strain on the duo of keeping the secret and the repercussions after their outing and the backlash that followed, that makes it a quite poignant and tragic watch. Definitely one for folks of a certain vintage who remember this moment in pop history. After all, would lip-syncing be even a shock these days? Would we even care? It's also one for those who, you know, who love a fascinating and controversial music documentary. I'm very excited for this one. That is Milli Vanilli, now on Paramount Plus.
But for one family in 1977's London, dread was just the beginning.
I'm starting the Enfield Poltergeist case.
What you're seeing is a reimagining of those events. But what you're about to hear is real.
What do you want? Tell us what you want.
I can't comment you.
That's an 11-year-old girl.
The Enfield Poltergeist on Apple TV Plus is a new docuseries which explores the very real-life case that inspired the events of the Conjuring 2 movie. In 1977, a family in Enfield, London, were terrorised by a horrifying haunting, and this new series brilliantly combines hours of rare audio footage with a recreation of events where actors lip-sync to this very creepy audio, which only adds to the weird vibe of it all. And yes, in this case, lip-syncing is a good thing. This one includes interviews with those directly impacted by the case to bring fresh new insight into the event, and looks like a really intriguing take on the whole docuseries approach to creepy shit. Yes, it's a perfect Halloween drop for your perusal. That's the Enfield Poltergeist, which is now all up on Apple TV+.
This is the story of the great battles for survival and the dynasties that would take over the world. From the beginning of life to today.
Life on Our Planet on Netflix is the story of life's epic 4 billion year journey on Earth, told through its ruling dynasties, its underdogs, and the cataclysmic events that reshaped it. With Steven Spielberg as its executive producer, you can expect the CGI dinosaurs especially to have a decent looking sheen off them. And with Morgan Freeman doing his best David Attenborough impression, Netflix have definitely pumped a lot of cash and time into this new natural history series and seem to be shouting about it from all the rooftops. Listen, you natural history nerds, you know who you are and you know you're going to love this. So just enjoy it. That's Life on Our Planet with all episodes now streaming on Netflix. Yeah, bizarre. Hot Potato, the story of the Wiggles on Prime Video. This looks at the global phenomenon and Australian supergroup that you may never have heard of, the Wiggles. The documentary chronicles the story of three preschool teachers, Anthony, Murray and Greg, and their friend Jeff, because there's always a Jeff, as they triumph over the odds to become one of the most successful children acts of all time. Described by The Guardian as the Beatles for toddlers and preschoolers, if Bluey is currently the be-all and end-all of your smallies every waking hour, well, the Wiggles laid that path, and this sweet and charming doc is an intriguing observation of something growing organically and exponentially in the very competitive Hunger Games preschool gladiatorial arena. What's not to love? That is Hot Potato, the story of the Wiggles, which is now on Prime Video.
I'm going to use everything in my power to make your life miserable until you stop doing what you're doing.
I've never seen this happen before in Australia.
There has been ongoing conflict.
They're a YouTube phenomenon.
It was game over.
This is the future of Australian hip-hop, right here.
Growing up,
we've always had run-ins with police. They just look at us as like criminals.
Where we're trying to divert kids from violence, this group was using lyrics of inciting the acts of violence. Retaliation is on
broad. 1-4 Against All Odds on Netflix is another Australian cracker of a documentary with music of a different kind. This feature documentary follows a group of Sydney-based Pacific Islanders who turn to recording drill raps to avoid a life of crime. 2 years into their meteoric rise, a police task force shuts down their sold-out national tour due to concerns that the group's music may incite violence. A huge, huge hit on the film festival circuit. It's definitely worth your time, even if the thought of drill rap music scares you. Trust me, this movie will surprise you. A wee cracker, that's 1-4 Against All Odds, which is now on Netflix. Also on Netflix this week we have Get Gotti, which is a new docuseries which follows the FBI's battle to bring down the infamous mob boss John Gotti, the leader of the notorious Gambino crime family in New York. This three-part documentary explores his meteoric rise and his crashing fall, as told from the side of police, FBI, gangsters, and even some of those who betrayed him, or as Gotti would call them, rats, rat bastards. It comes from the makers of the hugely successful Fear City, and if you're a true crime nut, well, Get Gotti is now on Netflix for you. Coming from Korea, and one definitely for cinephiles and movie nerds everywhere, Yellow Door 90s Lo-Fi Film Club on Netflix is a new documentary which explores a bygone era of cinematic passion and the emergence of young film enthusiasts in Korea. The 1990s witnessed an explosion of film clubs on Korean campuses, providing young students with a creative outlet and a platform to study the art of cinema. The Yellow Door Film Club was one of them. Why is this of any interest to some of you? Well, gathering regularly to share their passions for films, among them was none other than Bong Joon-ho, who would become the first Korean to win an Academy Award with Parasite in 2020, including Best Director and Best Film. At the Yellow Door Film Club, he screened his first short film, Looking for Paradise. Even though Boon is the big centrepiece of the movie, the old footage of a group of movie nerds just being movie nerds and loving film is a thing of beauty. Yes, the nerd herds were strong in 90s college campuses. Tell me about it. Tell me about it. That's Yellow Door, 90s Lo-Fi Film Club, now on Netflix. I told you there was a lot of documentaries, and as you've now heard, there's some pretty good crackers in there. Lot to occupy the minds. Right, let's go. Let's keep moving. What else is out there?
I will make my life count.
Only 2 years of high school?
Well, I left to pursue a career in sales.
Cutco, what is that, like steak knives?
Yeah, it was other kinds of knives, too.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a shot, please.
Don't embarrass me.
Hi.
Hi.
Nice to meet you. Oh.
Pleasure is mine. Commissions that get you into paradise. Get a doctor to prescribe your drug. You know when we bill on a full dose script?
What?
40 grand.
A year?
A month.
On some level, I knew it was bullshit.
Loosely based on a New York Times article, Pain Hustlers is a new Netflix true crime drama from director David Yates, who did some of the Harry Potter and Fantastic Beasts movies. I don't know if that's a good thing. And stars Emily Blunt, who plays a woman who, after losing her job, is struggling to raise her daughter, so takes a job out of desperation at a failing pharmaceutical startup. But, alas, what she doesn't anticipate is the dangerous racketeering scheme she suddenly entered into. Also starring Chris Evans, Catherine O'Hara, Jay Duplass and Andy Garcia. Yes, it's another OxyContin story. And after the excellent Dope Sick and Painkiller series, will folks be ready for more? It feels about 2 years too late to the pharmaceutical excess party, but I suppose what it does have going for it is this is a movie, not a series, and only 2 hours long. So, you know what? Feck it. With that cast, sign me up. I'm all in. Pain Hustlers is now on Netflix. What We Do in the Shadows returns for its fifth season to Disney+. Huzzah! And what a joy to have this in our lives. As we all know, this follows the lovable vampire roommates of Staten Island as they navigate everyday challenges of their undead lives. What a share. The new season will follow vampires Nandor, Laszlo, Nadja, energy vampire Colin Robinson and their familiar Guillermo as they return following the seismic events of season 4. Which, if you remember, ended with Guillermo demanding he be turned into a vampire. Absolutely daft. Absolutely adorable, absolutely insane. It just gets better and better every season. Highly recommend. Of course you've watched this. Well, enjoy, because season 5 is now there for you on Disney Plus of What We Do in the Shadows. For the smallies this week, some nice Halloween-y stuff happening. We have Curses on Apple TV Plus, which is a brand new animated spooky adventure comedy series for kids from DreamWorks Animation. When a generations-long family curse turns Alex van der Hoeven to stone, it's up to his two kids, Pandora and Russ, along with his wife Sky, to return artifacts stolen by their ancestors to their rightful homes and finally lift the curse. Yeah, looks like a bit of fun. Looks pretty decent, and it's a good distraction over the weekend, other than bobbing apples. So that is Curses, which is now on Apple TV+. And also on Apple TV+, Shape Island, Creepy Cave Crawl is a new standalone episode of the acclaimed stop-motion series for kids and families based on the international best-selling trilogy of Shape picture books written by none other than Mac Barnett and illustrated by John Klassen. Beautiful, beautiful. In this standalone special, after Triangle pranks them, Circle and Square celebrate Halloween on their own with all the treats and no tricks. Oh, it's all so cute. So, so cute. This quality stop-motion series, while definitely for smallies, adults will also enjoy its cuteness too. So that's Shape Island, Creepy Cave Crawl, now on Apple TV+. And completing a triple bill of Apple TV+ content for the smallies, it's The Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown is the 1966 classic that's there for all you Charlie heads, your peanut brains, whatever you call yourselves, you fandom. It's a Charlie Brown. It's a Halloween special. And it's on there on Apple TV Plus, and it's called It's the Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown. Sure, it's a classic. Less for the smallies and more for the kind of teens it up. Pluto on Netflix is a new anime series. When the world's 7 most advanced robots and their human allies are murdered one by one, robot detective Inspector Gazicht soon discovers that he's also in danger. This one-off series is an international murder mystery set in the world of noble robots and flawed humanity based on the manga by Naoki Urasawa and Takashi Nagasaki. For those nerds who truly need to know, yes, Pluto is based on Tezuka's Astro Boy storyline, known as The Greatest Robot on Earth from 1964. And this one is more of a retelling of that storyline. an absolute must for anime fans. All 8-hour-long episodes of Pluto are now up on Netflix. And finally, in animation, we have Praise Petey Season 1 on Disney+. This is a new adult animated series and follows Petey, a wealthy New York socialite who has it all until her life comes crashing down around her when her mother informs her that she has inherited a small town from her recently deceased father called New Utopia, where, seemingly, her father was a cult leader. Petey starts a new mission to have New Utopians think for themselves and also be normal by starting with the simple abolishment of human sacrifices. What? Sounds Mad has an absolutely stellar voice cast, including Annie Murphy, John Cho, Kirstie Clements, and Christine Baranski. That is Praise Petey Season 1, which is now on Disney+.
Mr. Fuller, we believe we have reason to ask you a series of questions.
What reason?
We're not at liberty to say. Please have a seat. Have you ever attended meetings affiliated with the Communist Party?
No.
Our country is under threat from Soviet spies, but there's another risk to national security.
What is your marital status?
Single, but there is a special lady in the picture.
Hulk, it's stunning.
Have you ever had inappropriate physical contact with another man?
No.
Such a damn good liar.
Fellow Travelers on Paramount Plus is a new drama series which sees Jonathan Bailey and Matt Bomer star in this touching love story based on the novel by Thomas Mallon. It is also a political thriller which follows their characters as they navigate a clandestine relationship during the McCarthy era. Their story is told over 4 decades, from the Vietnam War protests in the 1960s to the AIDS crisis in the 1980s, with the characters facing several hurdles along the way. Receiving a lot of early buzz, Fellow Travellers is on Paramount Plus from Saturday, October 28th. Moving into the streaming non-English section this week, there are a hell of a lot of decent shows and movies for those who love a bit of subtitles and international content. So let's quickly fly through this lot, which starts with The Lions of Sicily on Disney+, which is an Italian historical drama television series based on the Florios of Sicily by Stefania Auci. Set in the 1800s, it follows the Florio family, where brothers Paolo and Ignacio turn a small shop in Sicily into a flourishing business activity that becomes an economic empire. But the arrival of a strong and independent woman disrupts the entire family's life. Oh! Anyway, arriving with, again, some decent buzz, that's the Italian historical drama The Lions of Sicily, now on Disney+, with 4 episodes dropping this week and 4 episodes next week. Therapy is a new German mystery thriller on Prime Video. Josie, the 12-year-old daughter of the renowned therapist Victor Lorenz, seems to have disappeared without a trace after one of her numerous visits to the doctor. At this point, she has been suffering from an illness for months, the cause of which no doctor has been able to determine. Lorenz suffers mood swings and a nervous breakdown as the investigation remains unsuccessful. And himself and his wife, Isabel, live for years without any sign of life from their daughter. And then, as you guessed it, it all kicks off. This psychological thriller is based on Sebastian Fitzek's German bestseller, and all episodes are now up on Prime Video. Burning Betrayal is a new Brazilian movie on Netflix and is an adaptation of Sue Hecker's novel, in which an accountant sees her fiancé's betrayal as an opportunity for a sexual awakening with dangerous consequences. Oh yes, it's sketchy sexy times. That's Burning Betrayal, which is now on Netflix. And Absolute Beginners is a Polish teen drama where 2 childhood best friends enjoying their final seaside summer, as they prepare for film school, meet an aspiring athlete who ignites unfamiliar desires. Oh, more sexy times ahoy in the Polish coming-of-age family drama series Absolute Beginners on Netflix. The new Spanish movie Sister Death on Netflix is defo one for any fans of the Nun horror franchise. In post-war Spain, Narcisa, a young novice with supernatural powers, arrives at a former convent, now a school for girls, to become a teacher. As the days go by, the strange events and the increasingly disturbing situations that torment her will eventually lead her to unravel the terrible skein of secrets that surround the convent and haunt its inhabitants. Oh, yes. You know those Spanish, when they do horror, they do freaky horror. So that is Sister Death on Netflix. And finally, in the non-English section, we have Torn, which is on Netflix and is a new Swedish drama in which an immature and aimless 27-year-old throws himself into an unknown world of sex, drugs and self-discovery after his closest companion's death, that companion being his dad. Will he unravel in this newfound freedom, or is it what he craved all along? That's Tor, which is now on Netflix. And finally this week on streaming, or should I say terrestrial TV, ah yes, we've saved the best for last. Woo-hoo!
This is the most physically demanding and emotionally draining game on television.
God knows what's ahead.
Welcome to Survivor!
To get further into this game, we need a strong tribe.
Do you think there is anyone I should be wary of?
Survivor's ready! Go! Outwit, outplay, outlast. Who gets to stay and who gets to go?
We'll find out.
The tribe has spoken. This is Survivor.
Yes, yes, as you may or may not know, I am obsessed with the US reality competition Survivor. Having watched almost 45 seasons, I think, of it on TG Car, and after a failed UK attempt to do it back in 2001 on ITV, it's back, baby. It's back this Saturday on primetime BBC One at 8:25pm, with episode 2 on Sunday at 9pm. So get that series link sorted. This one is hosted by Joel Dumet and is the ultimate physical and psychological game where tests of brains, brawn and betrayal are constant. Players compete to outwit, outplay and outlast their rivals to be crowned sole survivor. For those who don't know or even remember the setup, 18 people, this time selected from across the UK, are marooned in a tropical location where they are divided into two tribes, competing against each other in a range of physical and mental challenges for reward or immunity. One by one, players are voted out of their tribes at the tribal council until the two tribes eventually merge and the game becomes a head-to-head battle. Ultimately, one person can triumph, winning the cash prize of 100,000 quid and yes, that title of sole survivor. The tribe has spoken. Survivor UK is on BBC One this weekend on Saturday and Sunday and will run for 10 episodes. Seriously, people, grab your buff. It's going to be great. Well, I hope so. I've always got the American one if it's crap. And finally on streaming this week, two quick notes. Despite me kicking it so many times during its theatrical release, you can now put yourself through the hellscape that was the Irish horror comedy Apocalypse Clown, because it's now streaming on Netflix. Who knows, with Halloween vibes in the air, some folks may even appreciate it. Still not me, though. Anyway, Apocalypse Clown is now on Netflix. And in case you missed its launch last week, because I did, Bosch Legacy Season 2 is now on Prime Video and sees the detective back in the case in search of his daughter, Maddie Bosch, who went missing at the end of Season 1. The series is based on multiple books by Michael Connelly and follows retired homicide detective Harry Bosch as he takes on his new career as a private investigator. The fab Titus Welliver again returns as Harry Bosch for this extremely popular series. So that's Bosch Legacy Season 2, now on Prime Video. And that is your streaming. What can I say? A very fascinating and intriguing week of content. So, despite it being an odd one of not exactly top-notch stuff, there is still plenty there to keep you interested. Cinema-wise, oh boy, have we got some interesting movies for you.
I have a job for you.
Piece of cake, really. It's a security gig.
Hello?
Welcome to Freddy's. Have you met them yet?
Met who?
Foxy, Bonnie, Chica, and Freddy.
Five Nights at Freddy's is the new horror movie from Blumhouse based on the extremely popular video game. In the game itself, the player assumes the role of a nighttime employee who must utilize tools such as security cameras, lights, doors, and vents to defend themselves against the animatronic characters who inhabit the locations and become mobile and quite hostile at night. And that is exactly what we get here, with Josh Hutcherson, Peter, from The Hunger Games, playing the role of the security guard. Ah, Josh, he'll always be Peter. He'll always be Peter to me. Aim squarely at a younger audience. When I say younger, yeah, it's probably somewhere between 12 and 25. And yeah, we'll include older gamers in that. This was a fairly enjoyable attempt at capturing the insanity, mood and vibe of the game. It'll probably fly over the head of most people who don't know the game, but for fans, and younger fans especially in general, I'm pretty certain it'll appeal immensely. Weirdly, I thought it wasn't as violent as I expected, but having chatted to other folks, their opinion definitely differed and thought it was too violent. Interesting. The animatronic murderers all look class, and there are plenty of Easter eggs for gamers. Like the recent Super Mario movie, I'm almost certain that even if this gets pummeled in reviews, fans won't give an absolute crap and will turn out for a chance to see the game on the big screen. We bizarrely used to sell shed loads of spin-off novelizations in Department 51, not even knowing at first that it even had an audience. It was like, what is this crap? And then we did some merch and the merch started flying off the shelf. So let's see what happens. I give it a ho-hum, half-decent affair of a review. Not bad. Definitely better than the Exorcist movie recently. But it's now up for the fans to turn up and embrace it. Especially if they want that sequel. So that's Five Nights at Freddy's, now in cinemas.
Is that guy Robert again?
Listen, concession stand girl. Why don't you give me your number?
Wait, you never said where he goes to school.
I think he just works.
Oysters, come on.
He has cats. And his eyes are nice. They crinkle.
Yeah, because he's old.
I think I really like him.
As promised.
I'm not saying I will have sex with him, but I think he would like it.
Why are we having this conversation? He's a terrible kisser.
Cat Person is a black comedy and psychological thriller that is on limited release this week. It is directed by Susanna Fogel and based on a 2017 New Yorker short story of the same name by Kristen Rupinian. The film stars Emilia Jones from Coda, Nicholas Braun, who we all know as good old Greg from Succession, and Geraldine Viswanathan, who was best known for Blockers. When Margot, a college sophomore, goes on a date with the older Robert, she finds that in real life, Robert doesn't quite live up to the Robert she's been flirting with over texts. This one is a pretty razor-sharp exploration of the horrors of dating, and for the final act, our final third of the movie, moves beyond that short story and turns into a bit of a horror movie with all the usual tropes. I am not going to lie, I was a bit stressed watching this, but I kind of also really enjoyed it in a most uncomfortable way. It was very, very stressful. There is no such thing as black and white in this film. All the characters operate in the grey and all come across as extremely flawed. Some definitely way more than others, but I'll let you discover that. If you are planning on going on a first date soon, sure, go on, why not? If you can survive this movie and the fallout from it, you are meant to be together. If, however, you are happy in a relationship and feel very comfortable in it, well, why not go and try spot those aforementioned first daters? And also see if you can survive, because, as I said, it's very stressful. Finally, if, like myself, you operate in the world of singletons, this movie may, in fact, see you taking a break from the dating pool for quite a while as you try to recover from the insanity, squirminess and awkwardness of it all. Despite massive criticism across the board, I felt it was a worthy and enjoyable watch, if that's how you enjoy it. And maybe that's because I went in completely blind, had never heard of the Cat Person short story, and actually probably thought I was going to see a documentary about cats. But there you go, that's just me. As for the kissing scene, sweet Lord Jesus, did the camera have to dwell that long? Oh my God. Oh my word. Anyway, Cat Person, be prepared, is now in cinemas. And that's your cinema. as I said. Some, yeah, very intriguing options there. Very interesting. Let's have a quick look at music. And sorry, folks, she's back again. This podcast must be sponsored by the NFL because it's time to go back in time to a quaint year when everything was so much simpler and boppier. Yes, I think I've talked more in this podcast recently about Taylor Swift than the NFL's social media accounts, but for good reason. 1989, Taylor's version, is released today and is her fourth re-recorded album. As with most of these recordings, the vault songs will always draw the most attention, and this album's five tracks include Slut, Say Don't Go, Not That We Don't Talk, Suburban Legends, and Is It Over Now? As this is possibly her most listened to album and also her most recent re-record, how she captures the buzz and vibe and sounds of the original will also make for a quality deep dive for Swifties. So that is 1989 Taylor's version, finally out today. History Books is the sixth studio album by New Jersey rock band The Gaslight Anthem. It is the band's first studio album in 9 years, following their reunion and tour from 2022, where they popped up in the National Stadium and put on quite an epic performance. The reunion was in fact inspired by a long chat between Bruce Springsteen and lead singer Brian Fallon, not that Brian Fallon, post-COVID lockdowns. And Springsteen also wrote a few songs for them and features on the album. So that's History Books from The Gaslight Anthem, now streaming. And finally in music this week, Duran Duran released their 16th studio album, Dance Macabre. This is a Halloween-themed album. The record would include 3 new tracks, some covers, and some reimagined versions of older Duran Duran material. Hell, why not? Duran Duran going all Halloween. Feck it, Halloween is coming. Dance Macabre is now also streaming wherever you get your gear. Right, there's your music. There's your streaming. There's your cinema. Lovely, lovely, lovely. Time for us to take a quick look at 3 things we noticed in pop culture this week. First up, as the actors and the studios continue to fail to come to an agreement that will end the strike, the tumbleweed summer, oh boy, of 2024 is now officially taking shape. Not only did we recently see Spider-Man Beyond the Spider-Verse, is it? I can't even remember which one of this is. It's so long ago. But anyway, the new Spider-Man Part 3 of the animated one, whatever, is going to 2025, we knew that. But this week, some more shifts occurred, which will have cinemas and multiplexes sweating as to whether any more will move. Mission Impossible 8 has officially been moved by Paramount from June 2024 to May 2025. Holy crap. The Quiet Place prequel has moved from March 24 to June 24 to cover this, but also the fact that it won't be finished in time for March. Also, sources in the Hollywood trades are saying that Deadpool 3 will not make its May release, having already been moved, and looks more likely to settle on late July or even November 2024. Oh my god. Actors and studio heads are back at the table right now as we speak. And who knows, by the time this pod is over, they'll have either hugged it out or stormed out. Well, fingers crossed for the hugging. Come on, just a bit of hugging, lads and lasses. Next up, we have one movie that won't be moving this year, is The Hunger Games prequel, A Ballad of the Songbirds and Saints. No, they're not saints. They're snakes, Dave. They're snakes. That's a whole different movie. That's a whole and a different book. Oh my God. Oh, it's been a lot on this pod today. Well, in more Hunger Games news, London is volunteering as tribute as The Hunger Games stage show is set to debut in the autumn of 2024. Based on the first book in the series, the live theatrical version will be adapted by playwright Conor McPherson and directed by Matthew Dunster. Author Suzanne Collins has given it her blessing, Hurrah. And well, between that, the new Stranger Things play launching this November, and also with My Neighbour Totoro returning this autumn, it seems that Hollywood on the London stage has become a thing these days. Finally this week, ahead of her Priscilla movie, Sofia Coppola was talking to Rolling Stone and mentioned some movies she passed on in the recent years. She was originally interviewed and in the mix for, believe it or not, Twilight Breaking Dawn. Ho, ho, ho. But she said it ended after one meeting because she just basically said, I thought the whole imprinting werewolf thing was weird. The baby? Too weird. Way too weird. But part of the earlier Twilight could be done in an interesting way. I thought it'd be fun to do a teen vampire romance, but the last one, that book really gets far out. Well dodged there, well dodged. She was also in talks with Disney to do the live-action remake of The Little Mermaid, but her version was going to be a darker version, more in line with the original Hans Christian Andersen fairy tale. She ultimately departed, they say, due to budget disputes, which is kind of friggin' weird since it cost about 200 million plus to make anyway. But also a tipping point was when one of the studio development guys in the boardroom asked her, what's going to get the 35-year-old man in the audience? Exits stage left from Sofia. Hollywood, Hollywood. Such an oddball place. And there you go. That's us all settled. Fun times. Gonna dash now and get this out into the world early. Because, you know, who doesn't love a bonus episode? But more on that soon. This is David O'Callaghan for the Here and Back Again podcast. Wishing you all the best. And until next week, stay safe. Happy bank holiday weekend. Happy Halloween. And binge happy. Does that even make sense as a sentence? I don't know. I'm off. Go away. Me. Well, hello there, post-credits traveller. Welcome. Welcome, one and all, yet again, to the Thunderdome. A place, as you know, where anything goes. It's a safe space. Truths will be told and meandering, rambling tales are a given. This week, let's wander back in time to the early 90s, them were the days. All that lo-fi club chat from Korea earlier got me nostalgic for Minute College. University? College? Whatever. And the greatest movie club that ever existed, the Dark Room Society. Oh yes, what a time to be alive that was. Yes, set up in 1990 by the most bizarre bunch of movie nerds and weirdos who kind of clicked together and also formed the brewery football team, but that's a different story. We lived our dream once a fortnight, bringing the classics to the masses in Lecture Hall 1, the masses being about 26 people, but 26 very happy people. Such classics like, yes, Christian Slater's Pump Up the Volume, and some, you know, some of our average movies like Serpico, Young Guns, Flatliners, Dog Day Afternoon, Stand By Me, Kramer vs. Kramer. My God, did people cry that night. And of course, anything by John Hughes. Depending on the film, numbers could exponentially grow to 34 people even. Crazy times. Cinema and the love of movies in the 90s was at a different place. Proper nerd level stuff. People judged. It was almost like reading a book at the time. We also had many a trip on the 66 bus to the Big Smoke for classics like Shawshank Redemption and Reservoir Dogs. And when we were feeling extra ecology and cinephile, we went to the old lighthouse on Middle Abbey Street, where we witnessed the wonder of Jesus of Montreal, Jean de Florette, Man on the Source, and even like Water for Chocolate. Boy, did we eat chocolate that day. Truly, truly beautiful times. Sadly, none of us went on to win an Oscar, and after we all eventually left Maynooth in 95 or 96, because, you know, it'd be rude to leave when you finish college, eventually the Darkroom Society, like all good things, faded into the nothingness. Quick check on Google and it's now just MU Film Society. But at least they seem to offer free popcorn and drink, which means maybe I'll revisit some night. Sounds good to me. Anywho, that's our journey over. I hope maybe you were whisked away to your own college days. And did you have a film society? And were they too nerdy for you? Too uncool for your style of panache? Or were you good to them and embraced them? Oh, one other thing before I go. I'm adding a new little gimmick from this week to the post-credit. And it's called the Earworm and Mood section. And it's just simply the idea of sending you off with 60 seconds of a tune in your head that's currently in my head. It can be new, it can be old. Either way, it's just a vibe I'm feeling for the week and want to send you away buzzing to that tune. So with that, step up the last dinner party from London with their wonderful song, Nothing Matters. And that's all you need to know. It's a banger. It's a cracker. And here it is. Ciao.
I have my sentence now, at last I know just how you felt. I dig my fingers in, expecting more than just the skin.